Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 16th day of December, year 2020. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is update from Scott of the Tipping Point radio program. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Cymru am byth. For those that don't know it, that's Welsh for Wales forever. Callers will be welcome at some point in the program. When we do open it up for calls, we ask that you keep your comments and or questions short as possible. Also, be kind and courteous to others who may be on the call. And please watch your language, as we have a mixed audience. We are in the question and answer mode, which means all callers are muted until such time as you indicate you wish to speak. And then I will unmute you at the appropriate time. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and Pastor Dan is all together with no spaces. We do want to remind you the Daily Mail page is updated almost daily, and there are so many things happening fast and furiously that we recommend that you go there from time to time. Also, check the Listen Live page for scheduled conferences. And it also has the information on how you can be a listener. I'll bring Scott on here in just a second. Proverbs 28, verses 1 and 2 from the World English Bible. The wicked flee when no one pursues, but the righteous are as bold as a lion. In rebellion, a land has many rulers, but order is maintained by a man of understanding and knowledge. Let me remind you, this verse 2 of Proverbs 28 is referring to a righteous biblical monarchy, the very things that the Antichrist, in their protocols of the learned elders of Zion, said that they were going to destroy. And thanks to the world wars 1 and 2 and the other conflicts, they succeeded in wiping out the Christian monarchies of the world. Let me go ahead and see if my software is working here. And Scott, can you hear me?
Pastor Dan, I can hear you. And how am I on your end?
You're coming in 5x5, as they say.
Loud and clear.
Let me remind the folks, so Scott doesn't have to repeat himself. A few weeks ago, Scott was my guest. So if you want to hear his bio, about himself, how he got to where he is and all that, I would suggest you go back a few weeks on the archives and listen to the first, I would say, 10 to 15 minutes of the broadcast, and you'll get all of the information about Scott. And by the way, I'll remind everybody, Scott's from the same neck of the woods as I grew up, Central Pennsylvania boy, and I think that's pretty cool. Nittany Lion country, as I used to say, Amish country and Nittany Lion country, but anyway, we want to welcome you back, Scott, and how are things with you on Tipping Point Radio?
Great. Pleasure to be here again. I think you probably were the first honoring me. It was the first interview I had once that rocket ship got off the launch pad. So I'm happy to be here again, my friend.
Ah, excellent. Yeah, I noticed that you're starting to pop up on a lot of platforms, so that's very good. I guess one of the things before we get into an update as to where the hell we are at, I wanted to ask you, right now, from what I'm hearing from so many of my friends, relatives, fellow patriots, fellow broadcasters, we got a lot of consternation at this time because, you know, and it's, you can understand it. It's like, who do you trust? I mean, we've been lied to by everybody that's called a trusted voice from the time we were children, pretty much has turned out to be a liar, on the take, out for money, out for glory, whatever, but they've lied and twisted the truth. What do you tell people that come back and say, well, this whole thing about white hats and good guys doing this and that, it sounds like hopium because people have been lied to so much they find it hard to believe anybody's trying to do anything good?
I understand that, I can't disagree with, you know, that sentiment. And as common as it is, you know, we have to recognize the simple fact that we have been lied to about everything in the world and about life in general our entire lives. And the lies of the construct, the matrix that the Luciferian order built for us to operate for them, live in, and struggle in, and do all the things that, you know, that they have created us, you know, the hardships they've created for us that our Creator didn't create, those they did. And the problem with that is that we now, I don't know if we call it cynicism, but it's just, it's all we know. It's like all the human mind knows. So now that we really have something happening that's going to free us from this, the grip, this force that has kept us down, you know, for many, many thousands of years, I understand that's hard. That'd be hard to get your head around. But if you know, when we discovered this military intelligence back channel that popped up a little more than 3 years ago, if none of us had come across this or decided to explore it or learn how to navigate it, how to decode it, collaborate with others, I can say right now I would have the same level of fear for the people that they have in this country as they do with what they think could happen, Biden hitting the White House, the far leftist radical, basically CCP taking over the country, the Chinese Communist Party taking over the country. That was the whole strategy. So I would be scared to death, but I'm not, because I find this to be the most fascinating thing I've ever seen. It has been nothing but an incredible joy to watch from the perspective that I have, because what I'm seeing is a full-scale frontal assault on this world power structure, this Luciferian order, to bring it down once and for all, and they have created a perfect plan to do so. So that being said, if you have not followed this intelligence, if you had not followed this operation in over the last 3 years in real time, then I totally understand why you may be feeling that way. But those of us who have lived this, who have studied it, watched it, who have seen over 500 proofs happen through the course of this, we're not panicked, we're not worried, we're confident. We're watching a movie play out that has a very defined ending, that this time that not just the good guys, but all of humanity wins. So for us, it's the most exciting thing we've ever seen in our lives to know the ultimate outcome, and that's going to be basically inheriting the planet that God gave us to be used in its abundance in the glory that he created man for in the first place, not to suffer. So hope that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, a lot of it has to do with how accurate the translations of the scripture, especially the book of Revelation, how accurate they are and where we are on the timeline, because Revelation makes it very clear that at some point, Mystery Babylon, which is this world cabal economic system that has a death grip on all of us, is going to be turned to ashes within a very short period of time. And that's where they get their power. This whole Rothschild banking cartel and their fake phony money system is how they've had a stranglehold on us. So if anything takes that down in a short period of time, that would fit in with the prophecy of Revelation. Also, Revelation says it's the merchants of the world that are doing the weeping and wailing, and the princes and people basically in government positions. So that all fits as well, if that's where we're at on the timeline. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And it seems to me that based on what we understand of Revelations, that it certainly parallels, with the exception of one thing. And I take issue, and these are my own sentiments on biblical prophecy, is that as Revelations is read and understood, it is a time of terror and destruction and horror and you know, the debt of sins being paid and all these things. I used to believe that. I don't buy into that anymore, because one thing I know is the Luciferians, they may not have written the Bible, but they sure have manipulated it, massaged it, and influenced it over time so they could water down Christ's message and take what is good, bad, and what is good, make it bad, and what's bad, make it good. They just didn't, and that's what this Satanist order does. They invert everything. Everything's inverted. And they mix truth in with lies, and that's how they hoodwinked us so long. I look at, quote-unquote, the rapture as being this magnificent time that's going to happen where, you know, penance will be made, but certainly it's going to be where humanity is released from the bonds and the shackles of this worldwide power structure, this Luciferian order, and to where the things that do come to pass aren't for, paying debts of sin. Those things, to me, are personal rectifications that we'll hold and bear ourselves, as heavy of a weight as that would be, more so than being spanked by your father. But I think that if you look at the timelines, if you look at the movement of the entire cosmos, which is a creation of God, and you start understanding these things, then you're saying, a lot of these things line up. But these other pieces I never really had any background in, or it sounds like woo-woo stuff to me, or they call it New Age or whatever. And I say to people, look, I don't care what your formula is, whatever's in your head, whatever recognition you have of anything that is a construct of this universe, it all comes from God. So however you want to fit your puzzle pieces together so you see the picture, that's up to you. But I don't discount anything anymore. In fact, being a devout Ayn Rand disciple, I guess I would say, in a very loose term, I'm just giving her strong credit. One thing that I read all of her works, and it's one thing that resonated with me over the course of time. But I remember talking to a good friend of mine, Dr. Robert Rome, in Atlanta. He's a behavioral scientist and went to his institutes for training. And he's also a Southern Baptist minister. And I remember asking him once, I said, I have a real problem here, a dilemma, because he asked me what it was. And I explained this about Ayn Rand. She's a, everything she says resonates on the cellular level of my soul, but she's an atheist. And I that's where I just can't rectify this. He said, well, why does that bother you? I said, because she's an atheist. He said, Scott, he said, all truth comes from God. It doesn't matter who says it. I was like, wow, that was profound. So whatever constructs that people put together in their mind of where we are today in this world, you can't discount anything. Whatever appeared once to be bad is going to be revealed to be good. And a number of things that we have thought were good in the world on the levels of humanity that we understand, we're going to learn that it's bad, because that's what the devil has done, is inverted so many things. So to me, it's exciting because there's a clear picture coming, and there's going to be this sensational, on even at the DNA level, the emotional level, when humanity gets to make these true discoveries, it's going to be an incredible, incredible stepping across the line into a new age, into the golden age that we are promised. That's how I see it.
Oh, amen. Amen. Well, like I said, if that's where we're at on the timeline, it fits like a glove. I also agree, and I've told lots of people, our Heavenly Father can use atheists, agnostics, even his enemies as tools, just like he did Pharaoh and Nebuchadnezzar. So, truth is truth, and I go along with that. All truth emanates from the Father. All truth is testable and verifiable. All truth leads to good things, and lies lead to negative and dark things. So, in fact, in the Aramaic language, when it says sons of God, that's an idiomatic expression talking about the fact that men, particularly anthropos, which is the men that show light in the face, the Adamic people, when they exhibit his attributes, basically when they are his representative, when people see them, they go, there's something different about that guy. He represents something different. He represents the Father, the Creator. He brings peace, joy, prosperity, creativity, honesty, justice, then that's when you're called the sons of God or the sons of Yahweh, our Father. But I was wondering, I saw something the other day talking about how the heads of all these social media platforms and the mainstream media are all antichrists. Most of them are Luciferians of the Rothschild type. But I saw one of them that said Jack Dorsey, who operates Twitter, actually did an interview and admitted that he's a Luciferian. Have you ever heard of that?
He wouldn't have to have said that to me to believe that he said it on any level. I never heard him say it, but to me, it's just an automatic. What I've explained to people about this global power structure is that, unbeknownst to us, these people who have gotten into these positions of influence or affluence or tremendous levels of success, they didn't do that because of their ingenuity. They didn't do that because they're incredibly smart and talented. They did that because they are front men or front women for these entities on the planet that are built to control humanity. And you know, you just look at Zuckerberg. I mean, perfect case in point. Zuckerberg, his name's not even Zuckerberg. He's a Rockefeller grand. I believe he's Rockefeller's grandson. You know, most people don't know that Facebook is a DARPA project. It was LifeLong. I don't know if you know that, but
yep,
DARPA. You know, so it's LifeLong. They rebranded it when they realized that society would openly give up all their stuff to a defense related platform, so they made it a free enterprise type of operation where this kid, really brilliant, discovered it, and then they make a movie on it. If you saw the movie called The Facebook, and if Ken, I'm sure the two twins, can't think of their names, but went along with the whole story, because they're blue blood, they're most likely cabal players too, where they come in and, hey, it was ours, and he did this, and they just give legitimacy to the story. And at the end of the day, it was a way for the cabal used in the Defense Department, which, of course, they've controlled to a massive degree for many years, that they would get us to divulge everything about our lives. And I've said this in the past. People are crazy to just load up their Facebook accounts with everything about their lives. I mean, their pictures, their family, their kids, everything. This is an intelligence gathering operation. And then look at Jack Dorsey, same thing. But these people are... they are Satanists. They're the ones that are put at the top of the pyramid of success on every level. Doesn't matter whether it's big tech, heads of state, presidents in this, you know, in the United States. Of course, Trump not being one, or Reagan or Kennedy, but all these people are facilitated in the clergy in the Vatican, the most powerful voices. These people are facilitated because the cabal needs people that look, that walk, talk, smell, seem to be like us, so we'll follow them. We'll be inspired by them. We'll listen to what they say, so when it comes down to a time like this where we're looking for a leadership voice because somebody's a, you know, famous, powerful Hollywood actor or actress, well, if they're saying this, then, you know, they're a special person who has risen to these heights on this planet, therefore they must be right, and then we should listen to them. And of course, it's always worked, but it doesn't work now, because there's a great awakening going on, and we're now, because of this intelligence operation, showing us all the evidence of what the world truly is and what they're going after to destroy. It doesn't work anymore. So Jack Dorsey, this stuff doesn't surprise me, because the next step, once they use the CCP, pardon me, to take down this country, bring down the United States, then of course, you know, this is a firewall to keep any semblance of freedom on the planet. Then they take down the world, and even though they've used this Bolshevik Khazarian mafia outpost of Israel, I mean, they've used the Judaics to basically help them. You know, they've infiltrated. I mean, they pick that religion for themselves by force of picking three, and they chose that one. They just mix Satanism in with it. And then once they stay under the radar as Judaics and they make their final move, then they're going to take down every Jewish person. They'll wipe them out. They're going to wipe out anybody in any of the religions that won't pledge their loyalty and actions to Satanism, and just exterminate them from the planet and have a global empire, satanic empire. So, again, anybody in these positions, my eyebrows raised. I see any of them, corporate heads. I mean, we know there's been over 7,500, nearly 8,000 CEOs and board chairmen of the corporate structure worldwide that have walked away and resigned, right down to people like Eric Schmidt, CEO of Google, and Gates and others, because this entire global economic machine is controlled by them, and the corporations are controlled by them. So anybody that's in that position of power, to me, automatically is part of the machine. They're satanic, and that's, you know, might be an easy casual default, but I've seen enough evidence that that's the first place I lean to whenever I see these things.
Yeah, well, it makes perfect sense. Did you see where, I think it was President Trump had tweeted something about the Georgia governor and Secretary of State need to be prosecuted and put in jail? Did you see that?
Yeah. I've seen a number of things that he's put out over the last couple of days, yeah. A couple of weeks, actually.
Yeah, a lot of people are wondering if we're at, see, that's been the problem in this country. We don't hold anybody accountable. I mean, most of my life, I'm a little older than you are, but one of my biggest bitches in life has been the fact that everywhere from my time in the military to working in industry, everywhere I went, everybody has rules, but nobody enforces them. It's all a crony capitalist type of system where, well, we have a rule, we'll enforce it if you're my enemy or if it's advantageous, but when it's not advantageous or you're going to try to hurt my friend, then we're going to ignore it. All the way from Washington, D.C., all the way down to the local barbershop or local businessman. I mean, that's typical in America today. We just don't hold anybody accountable. And then I see this where he's saying a Georgia governor needs to be prosecuted. Amen. But will we ever see it? That's the question.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, Trump has used Twitter. Trump has been using the cabal's weapons against him since he took power and going around the mainstream media. Again, when Trump is tweeting something, those are previews of coming attractions. So as I explained in the video that went vertical back on the 12th of November on the post-election update, this U.S. military 2020 election sting operation that leads to Trump's second term landslide, it was all about this. People see this as a battle in the court system to prove the voter fraud. And quite honestly, from the Patriots' point of view, this isn't a battle in the court system that's going to lead us to the reality that Trump won in a massive landslide. We already know that happened. This isn't about we're just going to go round up the bad guys and start shipping them off to Guantanamo Bay or Greenland base or Diego Garcia so they can face Supreme Justice under treason charges. This operation has one purpose. It's to smoke out every scumbag, rat, and criminal in the deep state power structure in the judicial system. The political system's doing its own, but now we're clearing them out of it, or at least we're exposing them also in the judicial system. So we're going to find out which judges are deep state judges. We're going to find out which Supreme Court justices are deep state controlled Supreme Court justices. We're going to find out who's who through all this. They could go take them and burn them all to the ground now, but that's not the point of this operation. The point of the operation is for two things. Three things. Number one is that the people wake up, not just the people in this country, but the world wakes up to the truth of what this planet really is or what reality truly is. Number two is the people need to feel the pain. They need to go through an emotional process like we do with denial and then anger and all these processes to get to a conclusion where we can become psychologically healthy. We have to go through this. We have to be pushed to the brink, right to the moment of destruction before humanity will find the will to change. And that will to change is to say, this is no longer going to be a planet, the type of planet we're going to live on or accept from people. This dog-eat-dog world, even in the capitalist system, all this, just people lying to each other, stealing from each other, screwing each other in business, politicians lying to us, robbing us blind, wiping us out, raping the planet of every resource there is, hoarding it while people are on the streets, freezing, starving, all this nonsense. And this has to go through this process so people get to the point of where we're at the moment of destruction, and psychologically they feel that call it sheer terror or a reckoning. But if we don't get to that point when they finally pull the curtain back and reveal everything, then we're not going to support military going in for a final takedown of this global power structure. Because if they don't have the support of the people, then it can't happen. And they need the people to understand why they are putting people who we always thought were our heroes in military tribunals and then executing them for treason against the country and crimes against humanity. And when they can understand that, when they can see why it's being done, they won't be in opposition. They'll be cheerleading it, saying, get every one of these bastards, get every single last one of them, and bring them to justice, put them in a box, put them in the ground, hang them publicly, whatever needs to be done for the crimes that they've committed on humanity in our lifetime and for the last hundreds of thousands of years. Eliminate these people from the planet so we can get on with the golden age. Until we get to that moment where the world has finally are staring right at the face of this beast, this satanic order, and understanding what it really is, nothing's going to get done. This election is not an election process. This is a military operation. It's a military operation to smoke the enemies out, see who the traitors are, who's on the take from the CCP, who's been bought off, who sold this country out, and its destruction, guaranteed its destruction, by taking money and doing all the things they did, bringing in Dominion voter systems, Republicans included, stealing elections, all this stuff. Till we're so sickened by it, then we just say no more. That's it. Get everybody. And then, of course, the military. Military is the only way. There is no other way for this thing to be done and final. There's no other way. Because the judicial system is completely corrupt. We know there's, you know, a lot of DOJ, massive corruption in DOJ, massive corruption in all the federal agencies. They have infiltrated. They put players in every agency in this country, all institutions of government around the world, the monarchies. Now, these things are being cleaned up behind the scenes. Most people can't see that. They're not looking for it. But they're taking down. They're dismantling the entire thing. But we're focused on what's on the surface. So what's on the surface is what we're seeing, what's going to come, is this exposure of what these people really are. And then, you know, when it's go time, it's going to be a rough ride go time, because it's going to take military operators to bring these people down and bring it all down.
Amen. I've been saying that for a decade now, ever since Doug McIntosh put that letter up, why he supported a military coup as being the only solution. I've been a proponent of that as well, and I agree. And I also believe that we're going to see a major move within the next 2-3, maybe 4, but definitely 2 to 3 weeks, I think. I just tell people, be patient, because very soon we're going to find out, because this is all going to wash out. I just had my son sent me a text. Our home state of Pennsylvania apparently is holding a big protest this Saturday, where they are coming out in defiance of that Antichrist governor they've got, Wolf. So they're having a big protest and calling on everybody to defy his lockdown orders and open up their businesses and take the face diapers off and get out there and be humans again and greet each other and enjoy going to a store, a restaurant, or some other event or whatever. Have you heard about that?
I didn't, actually, but I'll certainly be reaching out to some of my family there to talk to them about that. And certainly it's my response to that is, well, it's about time. I've been saying this on my radio show. People, you need to stand up. I mean, the simple fact is, they're just business people in California, case in point. These people are now, the governor, you just look at the absurdity. It's okay to get planes coming in and out of LAX. People are sitting on top of each other, masks on. You've got Target open. You've got the big box, big corporate retailers that are allowed to be open, and small business people can't be open. So when you see that, and I saw this girl, this lady, was filming a selfie video. She's outside. She's got her mask on. She's half crying because now she goes, they're locking us down again. They're now actually taking stuff away. They're now hauling stuff away, like maybe she's losing things. And she says, somebody needs to do something. And I said, there you go. That's the problem with America right there. Somebody else needs to do something. They've built this society where human beings, Americans, take zero responsibility for themselves, their lives on any level, any. They're always waiting for somebody else. They're waiting for the government, which is the enemy. and they're waiting for somebody else. Now I'm thinking here, if I'm a businessman and I'm losing everything, and now I can clearly see this whole thing as a fraud, a farce to destroy small business, destroy the economy, and I'm going to abide by one scumbag politician in California or a mayor, I'm like, are you kidding me? You need to open your damn business, collaborate with the other people in your industry or on the same block or in the same strip mall, whatever. Open your business. If the police show up to arrest you, great. Rush them. Put 40, 50 people in front of that store and say, you're not getting through. You better go get some more police officers. They're violating our rights. They can be sued and they can be tried criminally for operating under the color of law. That is a crime. And I would be standing there and saying, if you take one of us, you better try to take all of us, but I think we outnumber you. And then if they go get more cops, bring more people, just keep bringing more and more and more. And what are you going to do, a shootout on the street? Because if the people turn, they will maul these police officers. They will maul them. And I just keep trying to get people to understand, folks, we outnumber these bastards by billions, billions, billions. It's simply the perspective, the perception that we have that because they are in a stolen position of authority that we have to stand down. That's absurd. People wait until it gets so bad, and then like any country that's overthrown, a dictator's overthrown, when you have 100,000 people at the gates now, and they start pulling on the gates and rushing the gates, the handful of guards that are there, they're gone. They're running away when that gate starts coming down. They're all cowards. They're all cowards when the people rise together and go after them. They run. The politicians get on helicopters. They run. That's what these people do. So these politicians would now see the masses of people standing up and saying, you know what, if somebody comes after you, they're going to have to get me, 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 and me. And then that will inspire other people to say, you know what, damn right, that's what we're doing. And if they want to send more, we'll keep going to get more. And then the neighbors will come out of the neighborhood and say, you know what, this is where we shop. We're coming out of the buildings. We'll add the apartment buildings and we'll stand there. You want to send your cops inside? You want to shoot one or two of us innocent people trying to survive? Guess what? If we bull rush you, we'll tear you to pieces. Now, I'm not saying to be violent. I'm trying to get this mindset in people's heads. You have got to understand these politicians only have power if we let them have power, because the power of governments comes from the consent of the governed. And when people understand that we no longer give these people consent, we're going to throw them out of power. We're going to remove them physically right now from their position of power because they've become tyrants, and the Constitution allows for an overthrow of tyrannical governments. My question is, what the hell are we waiting for? Are you going to let your business go out? You're going to let your family go hungry, to lose your house? Are you kidding me? This is what drives me crazy. Are you kidding me? Right. I mean, I just came back from Best Buy every day. I have no mask. I'm the only person in any store going with no mask on. And, of course, I went to Best Buy to return something. And, of course, it's always a young millennial comes up, and I'm in a line to return something. A lot of people in there. And nobody says a word. I come in, nobody says a word. Nobody at the door, at the door when you come in. I just go along like this. I'm living my life. And I'm not going to breathe my exhaust. I'm not going to make my immune system drop. So when I'm standing in line, the millennial comes up. It's always a millennial. Almost always. And so she informs me I need to have a mask on. I said, I got a medical. I don't put a mask on. And she said, well, you're not going to be able to go up there and be helped when you get to the line or up to the clerk. And I said, well, I got my girl here. I'll just let her do it. She goes, well, you're going to have to stand over here to the side then when you do. I said, okay. And that's it. I just brush her off and yeah, I'll abide by your directions. And then I go about my business and I do what the hell I want to do. I don't care what they say. I had this happen at a Costco, and it started to become more frequent now, but at a Costco, I'm really checking out. Girl wants a mask on. I'm telling you, I'm not putting a mask on. I got a medical exemption. So she says, you have to wear a face shield. Okay, she's going to go get one. Then she comes out, and I'm done paying. And she goes, you have to put this on. I said, well, I don't need it now. I'm finished. I'm just going to take my card out. She goes, well, you have to have it on before, on your way out. I said, listen, I'm not putting that ridiculous thing on. I already paid for my stuff, and I'm leaving here. Now, if you want to get the manager or somebody to come and stop me from leaving that with my stuff that I paid, well, go ahead, but I'm leaving. Manager comes out, and she says, he's not putting his shield on. I just looked at her, and I just smiled at her, and I just turned around, and I kept on going. This is what we need to do. This is what, if every single person conducted themselves like I did in these last two instances where I was approached, do you think anybody would approach anybody in the crowd? They would say, screw you, get out of my face, and that's it. But this is what it takes, because I'm not willing to get on my knees. I'm not willing to be treated like, I'm not going to get sheared. It ain't going to happen. So that being said, if they want to send the police in, go ahead, call the cops. I'll be here shopping. Don't put your hands on me, by the way. You know, if you want me to do anything, give me your driver's license. I need to give your information to my attorney so they know who to sue. But again, you can feel me getting ramped up here about all this. So anyways, this is what I'm trying to get people to understand, is it is up to us to say, this is how society's going to run. Not how you people say. We don't put them in there. They've used these machinations of stealing elections for generations to put their people in there. Well, now we just simply say, no more. It ain't going to happen. We're defying every order you put out. You know, if you're going to send people after us, you better bring everybody you got, because you know you're going to need them and then some. Anyway.
Yeah. Exactly. I think it's time for us to realize that this whole man governing over man needs to be dumped, and we need to go back to the original idea, which is a theocracy under our Creator Father. He's already given us the law we need, which is only 500 and some laws, cover almost everything. Very simple, straightforward, pure. All we have to have is righteous leaders and righteous judges, not the kind of judges we have today, but the kind that were in ancient Jacob Israel. And everything would work smooth. We just got to go back to the basics and get away from this whole complicated and satanic man ruling over man, because we're not capable. We're not capable. Hey, I wanted you, before we go to the next question I've got on my list here for you, let the folks know about your radio station and how to listen to your show and how to contact you.
So I started doing a radio show, folks, beginning of this year, and it's called The Tipping Point, and it's on Revolution Radio. It's on Mondays from 8 to 10 Eastern. The best way to follow me, to find anything that I'm doing, whether it's on live radio, which I turn into a video narration and put them up on my YouTube channel, or any of the live streams that I do that are called The Tipping Point live streams on YouTube, you can pretty much find me on all of my social media platforms by going to patriotsriseup.com. So patriotsriseup.com is a mobile connect, which is kind of like a mobile-based web platform. So when you land on there, you can pretty much get to anything that I do, because if you can scroll down, you can find a link that you can jump off of right onto revolution.radio. I'm in Studio B. It'll tell you on there in the time I'm there, but you can actually click that on Mondays at 8 Eastern. It'll put you on the show. I'm in Studio B. I tell people, turn your phone sideways to landscape view, because it stretches the page where you can see Studio B. You can scroll to the bottom there, and you can find there's a link there for Facebook for me. There's my Twitter link to connect me on Twitter. The YouTube channel is also there, too, the YouTube icon, and that's, If you just go to YouTube and run a search, it's The Tipping Point Radio, four words, The Tipping Point Radio. And again, all my work goes up there. Now, I am starting to be censored because my message goes against the narrative of the deep state. So I let people know that when I put a video on YouTube, if they look in the description, I've got all the links for Brighteon, for BitChute, for Rumble. I back everything up in case they decide to, you know, bring the censoring a little harder to me. But yeah, there's a number of things. You can pretty much find everything there. There's a link there for Patriot Street Fighter. I've been branded the Patriot Street Fighter, so there's a link for patriotstreetfighter.com there. You know, there's a donate button there if you want to donate to the Global Unity Bridge Initiative. That's something that I started where we are going to get thousands of emails in my inbox, because people around the world, when I announce this, we're going to build a global unity bridge. We're going to connect people cross border, cross country, so they can have like a teleconference pal, like the old pen pal of old, and they're going to link up with somebody, and they're going to have teleconference calls, Zoom call, whatever you want, and get to know each other, learn about each other's families, have them invite folks over for a barbecue at their house, or you know, a Saturday night get together, and you do the same, and get people, you know, put them up on a TV screen, let people say hello, who are you, what do you do for a living, and learn about their cultures and start bridging humanity. Because once we bridge each other, once we bridge each of the nation's peoples together, and we learn about each other, and we're fascinated by each other's cultures, and we fall in love with people overseas that we never even had in front of us face to face, we see we have a great vested interest in all of humanity on the planet. Once that rises and we understand that, then we say, you know, we get along just great. Why is there all these wars and all this disruption? It's because these scumbags at the top, the heads of state, the royal families, the monarchies, the chancellors, the prime ministers, the parliamentarians, the congressmen in D.C., senators, the past presidents, all these people have had their hand in creating all this chaos because we as people have no problem with each other. Even the religious order, they pit religions against each other, just like they divide us by age, by race, by religion, by sex, by everything, every ism, they divide us. But when we're together, we actually like each other. So anyways, the Global Unity Bridge, just that initiative kind of exploded. So, you know, people can be part of that. There's a link where you can get to in my videos to be part of that, help us bridge everybody together. And that's pretty much how you reach me.
Yeah, very good. So that website that has pretty much everything to contact you is Patriots, plural, with an S, Patriots Rise Up, and that's altogether.com, right?
Yeah, Patriots, right. Yeah, if you just type that in your URL, it'll come up. Sometimes people say it won't come up. I say, well, does it say HTTPS in the very beginning, or is it just HTTP? Because it always comes up for me. I'm like, if there happens to be an S in there, that might be why. But when you just type PatriotsRiseUp.com in pretty much any browser, it comes right to it.
Yeah, when I tried it, it worked just fine. So one of the listeners wants to know if you know of a guy named Roger Landry.
I do not. Haven't met him
yet. Yeah, I don't know who it is either, but Ralph up in Canada wanted to know. Now, Attorney General Barr has stepped down. The Deputy Attorney General, apparently, Rosen, who is another Antichrist, but I don't know that much about him, will take over. And his deputy is supposed to be somebody that's tied in with the military and, I think, possibly even the, what do they call that, the JAG in the military?
Yeah, he's. I think he might even be former 82nd Airborne. I could be wrong. I thought somebody mentioned that to me. I haven't done enough research on him, but yeah.
So what do you think of the timing of this, of him resigning, what is it, on the 23rd, the day before Christmas Eve? And apparently the president has given all federal employees off the 24th and the 25th.
Yeah, except special operations. Everybody except special operations. So who knows, they're going to be a military takedown at that time. You know, people have been, they've been beating up on Barr for the last couple of months. They went from, in the intelligence early on, it was when Barr came in, he was a hero. Barr is activated because they know there's a strategy here to bring this whole thing down. And I've watched a lot of these, you know, quote-unquote followers of this back-channel intelligence all of a sudden jump ship, just like the election when Trump, you know, quote-unquote, didn't win. They're all jumping ship. I'm like, what have you guys been doing the last couple of years? Do you think this is just a show? I mean, you know, you understand what's happening here. How can you lose faith? I mean, as far as Barr is concerned, people ask me, good guy, bad guy. And I said, I've withheld my fire on Barr for a long time, and I still am withholding it because I don't look for the obvious because everybody else can find the obvious and they can bring that to me. Great, there it is. So I'm not necessary. I look for what's unobvious because that's where the story is. So if we look at Durham, I mentioned this, I think, on Monday night show, the live radio show. You know, look, if Barr is such a bad guy, why did he just name Durham special counsel on these investigations. Because once you're named special counsel, that's a continuation of investigations. It can't be stopped by the incoming new president, if there is a new president. If it's a DOJ investigation, a new president comes in, brings in his new attorney general, and that attorney general is a deep state criminal, and he just cancels all the investigations. Just what happened in the House back in 2018 when Pelosi and company took over. They came in, they took over the House because it was set up for them to be able to take the House. The military set that up so they would take it and impeach Trump and show the world what they are. Well, guess what? They didn't need the House. They needed the Senate. All the investigations they conducted then moved to the Senate. Same thing here. All the work from the investigations that Durham and Huber and whoever else has been doing, well, guess what? Now they're under independent counsel. What are you going to do, fire them? Because it'll just show guilt right away. So good guy, bad guy. Who knows? He dropped the charges on General Flynn. Okay? If he's such a bad guy, he dropped the charges on Flynn, right, pretty quickly. So Flynn could go free, and that's where the bodies are buried. He also fired the Southern District of New York U.S. Attorney Berman up there, who kept running another deep state block to keep Ghislaine Maxwell from being arrested. Again, so he does that. So now, and also the DOJ has sued Alphabet Inc., which is the parent company of Google. So if he's such a bad guy, why did he do some of these very, very critically important things? My guess is that was his role he was supposed to play. And the thing of it is, the chessboard here, it has to move two audiences. It's got to move the cabal, too, because if the cabal sees that they have one of theirs in power, they're feeling confident that their block is activated. But at the same time, as they're maneuvering, if he's working for the alliance to save himself, because he is a cabal target or cabal puppet, and he's targeted, well, he might be fulfilling a role that's going to allow him to help the alliance and at the same time keep him from getting killed by the cabal. So, and another thing is moving people through this emotional process, through this legal quagmire to show them that it's all corrupt, for their end game. So that's kind of how I see Barr. He might be just a part of the operation that looked different than the reality, just like Jeff Sessions was.
Well, I think there's been a lot of optics and a lot of theater. I call it kabuki theater being played out on both sides. And the good news is we don't have much longer to wait. So, everybody's on pins and needles. We know because of the smoke on the horizon that there's a fire burning. Something big is about ready to happen. There is no doubt about that. So the good news is we only have a short time to wait, and everybody's going to have to come out from hiding. No more 3D, 4D, 5D chess. No more kabuki theater. No more warfare by deception. That's all. To me, that's how the enemy works. I believe that our Heavenly Father wants us to be quite open about what we're doing. I realize a military operation has to do things slightly different, but at some point, you've got to make it very clear who the white hats are, who the black hats are, so that we patriots and we believers can take comfort in knowing that something's going in the right direction and jump in there to support it, which is what I told the MI5 guy that contacted me, or MI6 guy that contacted me 10 years ago. I said, look, our country's dying. You guys got to do something. All you retired military, especially the military since then, that have been let go by the corrupt occupiers of the White House. I said, you go back and whatever group it is that you communicate with and tell them that, man, what are you waiting for? Our country's dying. You got to make a move. And I'm talking about the military. You've got to make a move because it's over. There is nothing, no fix is going to come out of the political arena, the courts, even the constitutionals. Excuse me. Because these criminals have no regard for we the people. They have no regard for the rule of law. And they have no regard for actual just simple justice as we know it from Scripture. These people have no conscience. That's why I call them psychopaths. They truly are psychopaths. They have no remorse whatsoever, no empathy towards mankind. They're monsters. Monsters in skin suits, well, walking in shoe leather, but down inside they are black-hearted monsters. At least that's how I see it.
Well, that's true. I think that's the hardest thing people have to get their head around is that these people, and I didn't understand this, you know, the Luciferian order. I didn't understand Satanism. I wasn't aware that it was everywhere around us, and it was in the open, projected through symbolism. Doesn't matter whether it's the Vatican or it's a Disney movie. It's all planted in there until they started pointing it out to us. But people have to understand that these people that are criminals and what they are, that they don't. It's hard for somebody that's honest to understand that to believe that there are people like that. Like for me in business, I've you know, that's my carrying my calling card is my honesty, my integrity. I'm never going to do anything to hurt a customer or any person I do business with, even in negotiating partnerships. The other side I've found in this world is always trying to get as much as they can, screw, you know, setting up a trap to screw somebody else down the road. It's just the world we live in. And unfortunately, that doesn't come from the creation of God. That comes from the creation of Satan. And the darkness that these people have, it feeds on this negative energy that comes from misery, from, you know, it's not just a badge of honor to lie, cheat, steal, murder, torture humanity. This is an energy source for them, just like us doing very, very good things to people all around us we care about, opening a door for an elderly lady, help across the street. We draw energy from that. That lifts our spirit. It's an internal thing that makes us feel great. We'll reverse that. If you're a dark energy being, that dark energy, the misery that comes from what they create is what feeds their dark soul. And so once we understand that there are human beings on the planet that come from those kind of bloodline families that's truly genetic, then you understand that these people are horrible people. You're never going to reason with them. You're never going to get honesty from them. You're never going to get justice from them. The only thing that you're going to get from them as productive is extermination, whether it's their self-extermination, which you're doing now, but the actual extermination is going to come because this truly is. It's like Charlie Ward says, look, Satan's already left the building. He's already lost. Now all his children are in here, you know, raising hell and carrying on and acting up, trying to save themselves. But, you know, once we get past this one, you know, this next step, then we get rid of admiralty and maritime law. They tricked us there. Many, many years ago, we now operate under maritime law, which is the law of the sea or the law of dead vessels. That's why we've got birth certificates that they instituted, and they put our name. Our names are written in capital letters only in two places on earth, on our birth certificate and our tombstone. Both signify death, and that's why they can treat us in this admiralty law legal system, because we're considered a dead entity, and they can get away with doing anything they want to us under what looks to be the cover of justice in the judicial system, but it's stacked against us for them not to help us but to hurt us. And we're going to move away from, in fact, if you see in the recent past when Trump's standing in front of flags, the golden fringe is removed from the flags. The golden fringe signifies admiralty law. They're bringing us back to where we once were and where we should be, at, you know, common law.
Yeah, amen. Yeah, I've been pointing that out to people since I first woke up back in the 80s. Everybody just kind of laughed at me. Hey, do you mind if we take a call?
Absolutely, go ahead.
Oh, okay, because we got a caller here. So, Mark, you're on the air. Welcome to the program.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, yeah, I didn't actually mean to call in, but hi, everybody. I'm here in California, just, checking in. I think we probably might be seeing, like, Jesus coming soon, actually, is what I'm thinking. It seems like all the signs are in place, and it might just be a matter here of service, of surrendering and service and... at this point, I mean, that's what I'm thinking. So just to add that in, I didn't actually mean to call in, but hi, everybody.
Oh, very good, Mark. Well, thank you. And it's the software. A lot of people or just getting used to what buttons
I didn't know what
stuff.
The buttons were, and I was trying to figure it out.
That's all right. All right, Mark, thanks a lot, buddy. God we bless. What do you think about that, Scott, as far as the second coming? You think this is all part of the second coming or not?
I think he's already here, to be honest with you. I see things differently from my studies over many years. Has gone in many paths, and I honestly, whether we see the physical body of Christ setting foot down on the planet or if it's the return of the Christ consciousness, whatever it is, but I personally, from my point of view, I think it's here. I think the Christ consciousness has come back now because I feel this rise of human consciousness on the planet happening everywhere. And I can see evidence of it with people that I talk with, tough guys that'll say, "Hey, man, love you. See you later." Those things didn't happen 10 years ago. You know, "Hey, I love you, man." All my friends, we all now talk with just different things where you just, there's this growing, I don't want to say sense, but this reality that people actually care about each other, like they truly care. Mm-hmm. So to me, this human consciousness isn't just rising because we're doing it by ourselves. We've done a miserable job of it. I think the Christ consciousness is here in influence, whether we know it or not. But, again, we'll see.
Yeah, well, that gets along with what I've told people, that you got to be careful, again, because we know that the scribes, we were warned to be careful of the lying pen of the scribes. Which is your people that used to make the copies of the original texts of Scripture and those who later on made the translations. We know for a fact that, just checking what we have access to, there's been a lot of mistranslations, a lot of deception. So that's why I tell people, be very careful, because the Scripture is, many times it's allegory. Many times it's idiomatic expressions that are 2,000 years old, and in some cases 4,000 or 5,000 years old. So be careful with all that, because, again, this is a spiritual thing. And the good news is our Father is real time. His presence is in our life real time. The Holy Spirit is with us real time. It's not 2,000 years old. I don't need any kind of interpreter to tell me what the Holy Spirit says to me. So, it's people just get caught up in a lot of this eschatology and end time scenario, and sometimes they go off the deep end. They start taking things literal, and again, depending on the translation you're using, that can lead you down the wrong path. First of all, Christ is from Christos in the Greek, which means anointed. Same thing as Messiah in the ancient Hebrew. It means anointed. Many people in Scripture were anointed. Joshua was anointed. Abraham was anointed. King David was anointed. Samuel was anointed. Elijah was anointed. The coming Elijah, obviously, is anointed. So, be careful what form it takes, because like you said, he also said at the latter days, at the end of the age, he would pour his spirit upon all flesh. And we are often referred to as the many-membered body of Christ. So we, as like little cells, all of us in humanity here who know and love the Savior and our Father Heaven, we are cells within his body, and when we act in unison according to his dictates, we, in effect, are his presence in this world. So you could look at it that way, too. So all I know is something big is coming down the pike. I mean, you can feel it, you can sense it, and people better be ready for it, because it could take many different forms. We got another caller. We got Cody up in New York. If I can get the software to work. Cody, can you hear me?
I can hear you, Pastor Dan. How you doing?
Ah, very good. I hear you loud and clear, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'd just like to say up here in New York that what I'm seeing is most people, or almost all everyone up here, is just sick and tired of what's going on. And it's almost like, they want to fight, but they don't know who to fight yet. Because, who the heck do you fight at this point? I mean, there's no one coming to your door, knocking your door, and this and that yet. So, you know, people, they want to fight, but like, they don't know who to fight yet because it's like, they haven't revealed themselves yet. So we're still kind of in our comfort zone here, I guess, up here in New York. I'd like to say that, you know, ammunition sales, you know, gun sales are still going, are off the charts up here because people know something is not right, obviously, but we're just kind of waiting for, you know, who do we fight?
Well, I would say there's a lot of people in that boat. Again, as the awakening, as Scott referred to it, is the consciousness of people awaken. What I'm finding is a lot of platforms that I monitor on a daily basis, the consensus on most of the people who make responses, they're starting to figure out who the enemy is. The world Zionism, the bankers. I mean, it's not a coincidence that like the top 55 or 60 heads at CNN are all Zionist Jews. I mean, that's not a coincidence. The heads of all of the corporations that control 95% of our media are all Zionist Jews. That's not a coincidence. So, and people are starting to put the pieces together. I mean, it's like my grandfather told me when I was just a boy, if you want to figure out what's happening in the world, especially in politics, follow the money. Okay? George Soros, Rothschild, Bloomberg, Bezos, Elon Musk, Dorsey, Zuckerberg, all of them, same group of people. Okay? Again, that can't be a coincidence. So, and they're starting to figure that out, you know. So we got to follow what Sun Tzu said. If you want to win on the battlefield, you must know both yourself and your enemy. And you're almost guaranteed success. So, again, we have to know who is the source of the woes and all the machinations that are going on in this world. Well, it all goes back to the same root. The tree of evil all has the same root. So I think a lot of people are waking up. Did you have anything else, Cody?
No, that was it.
All right. Well, thanks a lot, buddy, for reporting in what's going on in New York. Yahweh bless you and your family.
All right. Thank you.
All right, Scott, I know you're a busy fellow, and you're not getting as much rest as you would like to get, so I don't want to keep you on longer than you're wanting to, but can you stick with us for a little bit longer, or do you have to go?
For you, absolutely. Pastor Dan, absolutely. Hey, there's one thing you said of great value here, and I just want to add my two cents to it, because I think on this call tonight, the most valuable thing that I've heard was exactly what you said. When you can't take, because these scriptures have been pirated, parroted, rewritten, the scribes that rewrote them for the political machine back then for their own purposes, is that people have to understand that when they take this stuff completely literal, they're missing everything. Look, I studied the same book for decades, and I came to some conclusions that were like, you know what? Something just doesn't completely add up here or on the right track, but somewhere somebody took something out of this. And I remember one time when it finally registered with me, when the straw that broke the camel's back was, and this is a very, very fine man. He might've been a little younger than I was. I was probably in my mid thirties at the time, mid late thirties, but he was a renowned, world-renowned evangelical concert pianist. He was Catholic, and we just had a real good connection. And I remember at one point, and it was always the stress and the pressure that comes with this ideology that I felt most of my life. But at one point, when I was dating a girl, and we were having an intimate relationship prior to marriage, I just remember him saying, he said, Scott, you can't do that. You got to stop. You can't do that anymore. You're going to go to hell. And that was it. I said to myself, I said, all right, I'm done. I'm done with this BS. You're telling me my whole life that this, you guys tacked a dude on a cross over 2,000 years ago to suffer for all of my sins, which I'm quote unquote going to be committing sins, that to no fault of my own, because I'm human, and I'm evil, and I'm destined, all that crap that man is. I don't believe that anymore either. But so that dude gave his life on a cross through a horrific torture for my sins. But you're telling me if I commit this sin, I'm still going to hell? And that's when I said, that's it. I'm done. It's over. I'm going to go down a new pathway. I'm going to let my guy, call him what you want, upstairs, direct me into different aspects of study and things that I gravitated to, quantum physics, metaphysics, epistemology, different philosophies and different things, so I could get a bigger, clearer picture of where are the missing pieces here. So I get people that reach out to me because they've never heard me ever, you know, say, use the language I use, especially being in the world of politics, calling somebody a bastard or scumbags, all that stuff. And I get people that reach out on my YouTube channel, and again, they're turned off by that. I can't share your videos, and don't share them. Because maybe the group that you talk to have that mindset, and it might not work for them. But I know one thing, when the diplomatic statesman like politician Scott McKay spoke in a distinguished manner my entire life, you people never, ever listened, and we nearly lost the country and nearly lost the world. So now I'm on a battlefield, and I am going to do and say everything I can to save humanity. Whatever comes out of my mouth is simply descriptive, and it's just a word. People get hung up on a word, even if it's an F-bomb, which I wouldn't do out of respect. But even an F-bomb, you say that, oh, my God, God wouldn't approve of that. Like, God didn't create these words, you know, and these are just descriptive words. Like, people get hung up on the world is on fire, and people get hung up on this dogmatic minutia that has no relevance to our spiritual ascension on any level, right? And then one lady reached out to me, and I said, look, I said, look, when God sends the archangels Michael and Gabriel down, they're lopping damn heads off. There's blood flowing everywhere. They're chopping people up, you know. They're not coming down to be decent, right? So anyways, I think what you just said, I thought that was very valuable, that you've got to look at the concept of what we're taught in that good book. And if you really want to know, start thinking for yourself. Go talk to God yourself. You don't need a man. I love the idea that people go listen to pastors and preachers and all that. That's what we need. We need guidance and direction. But when people put their every part of their soul into that one perspective, you're missing the 360 degree view I take from all sources of information, whoever's bringing me, you know, this type of information. And that's what the devil is good at. The devil is saying, look here, don't look there. You know, think this way, but don't think that way. Or you're a sin. Sin, who determines? Sins change with time. The heart transplant was a sin too. U.S. Congress nearly outlawed that. It passed only by one vote, because we were playing God, and it was a sin. It's like man comes up with what they decide to sin. All I know is I got an opportunity here as a spiritual being having a human experience to experience it, hopefully in ways that doesn't harm anybody else. Even if I make terrible mistakes that are hard for me, not a sin. That's a learning experience to help me learn and ascend to come to a conclusion that doesn't work with my energy frequency. I don't want to do that or be that anymore. It's like microbiology. If you put pathogens on a slide and you drop glucose on that slide and you look under an electron microscope or under a microscope, you can see these pathogens. These pathogens will move toward the glucose because it gains a positive response from that sugar water. That's obviously food. If you take a drop of vinegar on that slide, and you can watch under the microscope, you can see the pathogens move away from it. You know, we're biology too. So one is going to create a negative experience we move away from. One's going to draw us toward it. And that's how I see the world in life. And people just, you know, finally put some of their trust in themselves and their own prayer or meditation directly with creation itself and our creator, they'll figure stuff out.
Right. Well, that's where my warm and fuzzy feeling comes from. I've used that to explain it to my children and to my friends over the years, that when I anguish over a decision and I want to be sure I'm right with the Father, there's usually a lot of prayer and meditation on it. And then one day, it might come 24 hours later, it might come 24 days later, but there'll be a day when all of a sudden it's a warm and fuzzy feeling. I just know what I'm supposed to do. And when I do that, everything works out the way it's supposed to. Doors open, things go well, a good result, etc. But if I try to go my own way, and I ignore that prohibition, doors slam shut in my face. There's negative feelings. It doesn't go well. People get hurt, et cetera, et cetera. So, here's another thing. I keep reminding people, how long have we had this book called the Bible? A few hundred years. Basically about 400 years, maybe a little more than that. So what did our ancestors do after Christ's ascension? For 1,500 plus years, were they lost? Did they all go to hell when they couldn't read every day this stuff that the Catholic Church tells us is the Word of God? I'm just asking. Okay, so for almost 1,600 years, my ancestors seemed to do okay. We built empires and civilizations. We spread the word. We talked of Messiah and his great works. That news went all over the place, the good news. There were conversions all kinds of places to the Messiah. And without benefit of anything called a Bible. But now, because we have a Bible, and we've had so many of these pontificating preachers stomp around and declare it like Jimmy Swagger did, this is the Word of God, the King James Version. I almost fell out of my chair laughing. It's like, are you kidding me? There's like 13,000 errors in that translation. Who are you kidding here, Jimmy Swagger? Besides that, the fact he was a hypocrite. But it's just a lot of times if people would just take a few minutes to stop and actually think about things, don't react based on dogma and conditioning and propaganda. Take a few minutes and think outside the box. Just open your mind. One of the greatest compliments that was ever paid to me was many years ago when I worked up in Michigan at a power plant. And I was part of a group of technical writers, and we were in the same area with the operations guys. And when I was getting laid off and it was time to move on to a new project elsewhere, we had a little party, and one of the senior reactor operators came over to me and said, "Dan, I want to wish you well, and I enjoyed listening to you and the other guys when you'd get off in some of your debates and everything over there." He goes, "It was quite entertaining." And he said, "I just want you to know something before you leave." And I said, "What's that?" And he said, "You're one of the most thinking guys I've ever met." You know, when he first told me that, I was embarrassed, and I kind of like, you know, just looked at him. And later on, I just pondered on that over and over the years. The most thinking guy. I said, you know what? That was a high compliment. Because as I got older and I traveled more and more, I began to realize a lot of people just don't think. They don't take the time to rationally think about much of anything. They react. Everything's coming across that electronic toilet. Whatever the new fashion is, what kind of car they want, what kind of coffee they drink. Everything is spoon-fed through the electronic toilets into their brains. They almost never just sit and think for a minute. Just like in natural health, because I'm 100% natural. I don't go to clinics. I don't go to doctors. I don't take any pharmaceuticals whatsoever. I don't believe in them. But that's because I've done the research, and I've thought through these things. And one of the things that I thought through was the fact that my Creator put me down here. Why would He make me dependent on what a bunch of pharmaceutical guys put together, when, especially when you find out they're almost all dirtbags and Luciferian? Why would I need pharmakia, which is the Greek word for drugs used in sorcery and black magic? Why would I need that for help? Why don't I just follow what the Scripture says? I eat the foods that He said are clean foods. I don't eat the unclean. When I get sick, I go look for the herbs and make tinctures, and I make up concoctions from things you can go out in the woods and pick up yourself. You don't need a doctor. You don't need a pharmacist. You don't need herbologist, even, unless you're just ignorant. The whole point of it is, if you think it through, you realize that we're being lied to on such a level and by so many people from so many directions, the average person doesn't know which way's up anymore. I mean, you know, it's just the way I look at it.
we're on the same page, because I'm the same way. I just think that, look, thinking has become dogmatic in every realm of life. Like you just mentioned, in medicine, right? Somebody gets sick and it's automatic. Doctor, hospital, emergency room. If it's politics, I'm a Republican, and whatever their mantra is, their dogma is, doesn't matter whether it's good or bad. I'm just George W. Bush, you know, another war criminal who I actually worked two elections, worked and helped get elected, raise money, you know, gone to invite to inauguration, still have those plaques and, you know, those things that came in the mail from him and Cheney, you know, it's that kind of BS that I have. I don't know why, it's probably in storage somewhere, but so same thing. Okay. Republican, smaller government, you know, and what do? Biggest spender since LBJ, but they still stick, people stay on that train. I'm like, wait a second. This is bullshit. We now have another massive entitlement program. That's, I'm a guy, you know, coming from the competitive bodybuilding world, and that was, you know, my world when I was young. So it obviously translated into the wellness industry. Yet, so from these prescription drugs now, people have been living horribly unhealthy lives their entire existence, and I've been spending a lot more money and working very hard to live a healthy life. Yet I'm getting hammered for the health costs for the people that refuse to take care of themselves. And just all that dot, that kind of dot, well, it's, you know, it's a Republican did it, and so it was a good thing. And I just, all that stuff, you know, whether it's religion, politics, anything, people just get into this mindset of dogma, and whatever they were, it's, you know, people have these beliefs, they have a belief system, even if they're not true. And so it's true. Why? Because I believe it. Well, no, that's just a belief. It's not a truth. It's just a belief. Where's your evidence? Where's your life evidence that you validated these things? Well, most people have no evidence for any belief that they hold as truth, right? It's just what they were taught, political philosophy included. You know, people have a political philosophy. It's not theirs. It was ingrained into them their whole life. Because, I mean, Earl Nightingale said it best, was it back in the 20s or early 1900s, when somebody asked him, what's man's greatest problem? He simply said, man doesn't think. That's it. That's man's greatest problem. Man simply doesn't think.
Yeah.
So, but you know, you're right. You're right about that. You're certainly right about that. And I appreciate your perspective as a pastor from that, because that's not limiting. That is expansive. And when people can understand that there in Christ's philosophy, in the God consciousness, there is nothing limiting. It's nothing but ever expansive. Always ever expansive. It's not limiting. It's not a jail cell. You know, it's not something to corner you and make you be obedient to and live a life that you're miserable in and you know, missing out on things in the world because you want to try to earn your way into the next one. And I tell people, you know, heaven or hell is right where you stand. You know, if you think you're going to wake up one day and be in a streets paved with gold, those are metaphors, you know, and just like the whole fear thing, you're going to be cast in the lake of fire, right? I walked away from that stuff a long time ago. I tell people, heaven or hell is right where you stand. It's what you're making of it, your own ascension. You know, if you're on an ascension path, you're going to feel like you're in heaven every day. You know, I know when I made these discoveries, I am. I know I'm on an ascension path. When I was lost, when I was being led by dogma, and it was torturous for 25 years, it was torturous, tortured my soul. But
yeah.
But these are just kind of things, and believe me, I'm not smart enough to have determined these on my own. This is the consciousness of our Creator that's seeping into all of us.
Yep. I just got a thing from, I don't know if you know who Dr. Steve Turley is. He's got a YouTube channel.
And I know that name. Yeah,
he puts up some interesting stuff. I just got a notification that he's just put one up that says something's about ready to explode. He's usually a no-nonsense guy. Mm-hmm. So I would, when we get done here, I'm going to definitely jump on that and try to find out what he's claiming is about ready to break. Because as we've said, you know, I and many of the people I'm in touch with, we can sense that. It's a spiritual energy thing. You can sense that we're on the verge of something huge here. Earth-changing, life-changing, paradigm-changing. And to be honest, we need it. The old system, who in his right mind wants to go back to the old system? I don't want to go back to a system that says it's okay to rip a baby out of its mother's womb and sell off the body parts. I don't want to be part of a system that says it's okay to rip babies apart while they're still alive because they have to have live tissues for the research centers and the pharmaceutical and the food additive industries. The live baby parts bring the most money. I don't want to go back to that. I want that all cleaned up. I don't want to go back to where pedophilia is okay, transgenderism is okay, homosexual marriage is okay. Aberrations of nature, it's not okay. It doesn't mean I want to go bust in doors and watch people in their bedrooms what they're up to. That's personal business. But when you flaunt that stuff in the public schools and in front of my children's faces and you try to get me to accept that aberrations are normal, now you've gone too far. And I believe the father doesn't want that either. So we need a reset of sorts, but not a man-made cabal reset. We need a biblical righteousness reset. At least that's how I see it.
That's what we're headed for, my friend. That's what we're headed for.
Well, it's time that it comes. My feeling is there's been enough martyrs. There's been enough innocent blood shed. I have been horrified by the hundreds and hundreds of books that I've read over the years. Eyewitness accounts of the Catholic Church's attack against people of faith that didn't agree with the Pope, burnings at the stake and such, torture up in the towers and all, like Joan of Arc and all that. It's horrific. I read Fox's Book of Martyrs. It turns your stomach. I've read Alexander Solzhenitsyn and... his name's escaped me. He wrote Hellstorm. I can't think of his name. I interviewed him. I still can't think of his name. But, I mean, I've read all these testimonies about the thing man has done to man. Mm-hmm. It's horrific. That's why I want to go back. I want to go back prior to when our ancestors made that horrific mistake and ask for an earthly king. Horrific. Why we would... You would want to be under a man king when you had the King of Kings, the Father, as your leader and your guide. Why they did that, I have no idea. But I, as a man, repent of that and hope that this reset brings us back in line with being his servants and his children on this earth and to do his will and not our will. I mean, that's what I'm hoping for.
Well, I think that's what's on deck, my friend.
Well, I'm praying for it. I'll tell you what, I could keep you on here for a long time, but I don't want to keep taking up your time tonight. We can do more broadcasts down the road. So I know you're a super, super busy guy, and you're being called onto many other platforms, and we just appreciate the fact that you could take some time out of that schedule and spend it with us.
Well, it was my honor, believe me. Like I said, Pastor Dan, I'll come on as often as I can.
All right, sounds great.
Appreciate the opportunity, my friend. You and your audience have a great night. Thanks for letting me share a little bit of my time with you.
Absolutely. Take care, Scott. God, we bless.
Okay. Have a great evening. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas. All right, folks. Scott McKay with the Tipping Point Radio at revolution.radio. Or you can go to patriotsriseup.com. He's got all of his links to different accounts, platforms, social media, all that's at that, patriotsriseup.com. And remember this too, folks. If you're going to expect that you're going to agree with somebody trying to communicate with you 100% on everything, well, you're going to walk a lonely road. Okay, because I got news for you. I've been walking this earth for a long time now, and I've talked to thousands and thousands of people, all different kind of backgrounds, all different levels of training in the identity message, etc., and I haven't met one yet that I agreed with on every issue. Not once. And I didn't meet any of those thousands of people that I've met that agreed with each other on 100%. I haven't been to one gathering where everybody at the gathering for a feast or for a to have hosts there and guests there, speakers, where everybody agreed. Not once. Okay? And sometimes it's on some pretty big issues and you could not agree. What we need to agree on is who we are as a family. Who are we as a family? Who is our Creator? Who will be our Savior? Isaiah 33, verse 22. Let's go ahead and read that real quick. It's a short verse. Isaiah 33, verse 22. For Yahweh is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver. Yahweh is our King. He will save us. Remember, Malachi chapter 4. Why do I keep referring to Malachi chapter 4? Okay? What is one of the signs before the great and terrible day of Yahweh, which is about to be brought forth upon this earth? What is one of the things that he said he was going to do? He was going to send you somebody to turn your hearts, the fathers to the children, and to the men to each other. That's what the Septuagint says. I know your English ones don't. Most of your English ones do not. But that's what it says in the Septuagint. That makes much more sense. He's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children. And he's going to turn the men's hearts to each other. A little bit like what Scott was saying. All of a sudden, I'm hearing it as well. I didn't say it when Scott was still on, but I'm hearing it as well. Men talking about caring for each other, showing more affection towards each other. Not a romantic affection, but brotherly love affection. Caring about what's happening to them, reaching out, and not chasing after the females to the point where you ignore your brothers. Okay? We've gone the way of the Jew because he's sexualized our entire society. Trust me, I got caught up in that when I was a young man, so I know exactly what I'm talking about. Okay? That became the overriding thought rather than brotherhood, rather than the community of men working together, shoulder to shoulder, okay, as a unit, as a family, as protectors of our race and our culture, and of his law, implementers of his law. Isn't that what we're supposed to be? Psalm 149 makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? This honor hath all the saints. The whole world is in travail waiting for what? Us. The men of Yahweh to be manifested. When are we going to show up for the game? There's a game being played out there. Mankind's losing. Innocent lives being shed. Torture, rape, murder, organs harvested, you name it. There's all kinds of criminality out there because the sons of Yahweh would rather spend their time fighting and arguing with each other rather than getting the job done. That's to our chagrin, by the way. You don't think Father's sitting up there looking down with a scorn on his face? I put my boys down there. I gave them the stiff backbone. I gave them my Holy Spirit if they asked me for it. I gave them intellect, creative ability, and I gave them the ability to be the best warriors to ever walk the earth when they have a mindset for it. And yet they've decided to acquiesce and sit on their ass while the satanic forces just run roughshod over this world. I'm praying for the Ezekiel 37 army made up of Gideon-type warriors, Radamanthine men, who have said, I've had enough. It's time to bring this system down. So whether all of this stuff we're seeing is exactly as Scott portrays it, or exactly as Dr. Janda, or Robert David Steele, or Paul Craig Roberts, Ron Paul, Rand Paul, you name it, there's all kind of pundits out there. Does it really matter? What matters is, whose side are you on? Do you belong to the Father or not? That's what matters. Because I'm going to tell you something. He isn't going to let anything happen to you as his son or daughter. He's not going to let anything happen to you that doesn't meet with his approval. The enemy does not have the right or the power to take you out. He can persecute you, but he has no right to remove you, to destroy you, as long as you walk with the Father. So there's the critical point. All right. So I hope everybody enjoyed what Scott had to say. Add what he said. Chew the meat, spit out the bones, and add it to what you personally know, what your contacts are telling you. And guess what? What's Proverbs say? In the counsel of many, there is victory. In the counsel of many. That's why I have many counselors, many, many counselors, because I pick all the meat out of there and I throw away the bones. And I think that gives me a much clearer picture. So as Dr. Steve Turley, T-U-R-L-E-Y, has just put out something, so maybe something's going on tonight, maybe not, maybe very soon, but even my own family that I was talking to earlier today said that they can kind of sense that something's about ready to happen. Maybe they were planning a trip and they have decided that maybe they better not. Maybe they should just stay close to home. Okay? These are the kinds of things that I pay attention to, things that are coming from people I know and trust, and it tells me that Yahweh's spirit, Yahweh's plan. Remember, logos in the Greek, which is interpreted as the word, also means the plan. So everybody says the word was with God from the beginning, as if it means the Bible. I take a different approach. The plan has been with the Father from the beginning. Halagos, the plan. And this plan will play out exactly as he sees it, exactly as he wants it. The only question you have to answer is, whose side are you on? Do you want to be part of that plan? Or are you going to resist it? It's really quite simple, right? All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. And let's close in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, the honor that you and you alone deserve. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We thank you for Scott and his radio program. We just pray that you would lead and guide him, use his voice, his talent, to further your kingdom and your plan upon this earth, just as we pray for this station and all of our listeners and those that reach out and share this message, that it would reach the ears that's supposed to hear it, that it would excite and energize and edify our brothers and sisters. Many of them are forlorn right now. They're kind of anxious because of this time that we live in. We just pray that the Holy Spirit would lift them up, give them good vision, give them a sense of conquering, because we were here to be conquerors and not losers, not to fall prey to the evil ones. And Father, there has been enough innocent blood shed. Please bring back your kingdom upon this earth. We failed to occupy as you commanded us to do. Come back and take your throne and rule over us instead of man. Make us fit ambassadors. Make us good warriors, but also make us good healers. This poor world has been through hell, literally hell. And it's time for a cleansing, a restoration. And to that end, we give you glory and praise in advance. We pray for forgiveness for our sins and our shortcomings, and we ask that you would walk with us, talk with us, guide us, and always protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.